up to yonder, beyond the lights, neon, fluorescent. My essence is something to ponder. Your talent ain't something to squander. Blessed and favored so highly, anointed and portrait I might be. This is that all that podcast featuring Kyrie.
Welcome back to another episode of the All That Podcast. Today, I'm excited because I'm interviewing somebody who has been my best friend for 13 years. Always been my partner. And he also happens to be a pretty good chef.
Am I?
Yeah. So today I have Mr. Alexander Spikes, a.k.a. the Therapeutic Chef, a.k.a. the founder and CEO of the Dirty Apron, a.k.a. the executive chef of... Well, we're going to say that because that's, you know. Just know that he working. So, what's up, Al?
Shit, nothing much. Can't call him. It's been 13 years already.
It's been 13 years.
Yeah, so it's a little minute, man.
We're getting old.
We are getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me a little bit older, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to get into that right now.
Yeah.
We'll leave that to James. But, yeah.
Oh, Jerome.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like I said in the introduction, you are a artist. I think artist is the right term because what you do with food, and just not, you know, how it tastes, but also the presentation takes pure artistry. You know what I mean? So, can you talk about how food was, I don't want to say introduced in your life because obviously you had to eat, but how food was introduced to you that made you want to make this a career?
Yeah, man. As far as me making it a career and, mm-hmm. you know, a livelihood, that really came off the strength of just friends
mm-hmm.
eating my food, wanting me to do something with it, man. You know,
right.
I originally would just cook sporadically, you know, just to eat good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't look, hey, I'm a country nigga, man. you know, Houston, kind of raised me, but I was born in them, you know, in them backwoods in East Texas, man, and you know, Lufkin and Dieball and Jasper, you know, where my folks from and stuff. So,
mm-hmm. you know, I got people in Jasper too, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Small world. Ain't that many of us out there.
Right.
But, you know. Yeah, man. So, basically, I kind of always had, you know, a very soft spot in my heart when it comes to Southern cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some soul food, man. And I guess, you know, being in Houston for a while and adapting and learning new things, I kind of, you know, stuck my nose in the area of other culinary arts and different type of cuisines to eat and mm-hmm. cook. And, you know, so basically, man, yeah, you know, I had a bad habit of cooking too much all the time.
Right.
You know, I would cook like I had a, you know, a family for four or five, and it's just me in the house by myself.
Right.
Yeah. So, which, you know, funny thing, being a chef, I've definitely learned how to portion our foods. That's something you got to learn. But, I always have so much food. I invite all my niggas over to eat, man.
Right.
You know, like, hey, come grab a plate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they'll come over and eat, and they'll, you know, start a food truck, you know, sell some plates.
Right.
Start a food truck, sell some plates,
mm-hmm.
you know, advertise it, market it, do something with food. I'm like, bro, no, I don't love cooking like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
I remember, you know, when you started posting your food, I was like, dude, you need to, like, I think I said start a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you did, you did.
I was like, you need to
do
something, you know?
Yeah, I got that a lot, too.
Yeah. But, okay, so who would you say is your culinary influence? Like, for me, you know, with interviewing, I would say Oprah is probably the person I look at and study the most when it comes to, you know, interviewing and, you know, in the lane that I'm in. So as far as your lane, it doesn't have to be somebody that's, you know, that big. It could be some family. So who would you say is your biggest influence?
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm gonna give you two sides of that coin. You know,
yeah.
I have those close to me personally in my life, and then I have those kind of celebrity chefs.
Okay.
As far as personally, my mama. You
right.
know, shout out Mama Ty. What's up? What's up? That's my lady right there, man. Yeah,
yes,
my mom,
she
man.
She cold with it.
Yeah, man. I was one of those kids growing up, you know, I was outside playing with the guys and, you mm-hmm. know, hide and seek, freeze tag, all of that. But when I knew mama was cooking, you know, when you're young at eight, you either gonna be in or outside. You gonna keep running in out this house in my damn air conditioner, you know. She was one of them mamas, but she couldn't help it with me, man, because right. whenever she would be cooking, I had to come in there and see what the hell she was doing to make it taste so damn good.
Right.
I just didn't understand it as a kid. So I kind of developed a habit of watching my mom really close in the kitchen. And a lot of my dishes that I started off being really good at, you know, came straight from her. You know, her recipes I still use to this day, a lot of this. So definitely my mom. Then I have a Mount Rushmore. you know, like I was saying, you know, being from the backwoods, I have some great aunts who are phenomenal in the kitchen. You know, my Aunt Dorothy, my Aunt Willamay, Aunt May Frances, may she rest in peace. You know, my pawpaw, you know, like, man, these ladies really put their foot in it, as the old folks say, and they don't hold back. And growing up eating their food, you know, moving to Houston, I couldn't wait to get back to Lufkin for family reunions or the holidays, because I knew the spread that they had waiting on us. You know, so yeah, family definitely played a huge part in, I guess, my first introduction to loving food that way. And that's just eating it. We ain't even scratched the surface on my love for it as far as doing it as a job now, because I didn't love cooking starting off, man.
Right.
It was, you know, I just liked it because I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as personal basis, you know, those ladies and my granddad definitely, you know, kind of propel me in that direction. And I say celebrity wise, you know, I've read some books and did my research on a lot of great chefs, you know, worldwide who've done things, but it's this local guy who was based in Miami. I can't remember where he's from exactly, but man, Chef Tobias from Restaurant 13 here in Houston.
Yeah.
He is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
That guy's dope, bro.
Yeah.
Funny story, man. He don't know me from a, you know, can of paint,
right,
personally. Even though we have DM before, that's a funny story. I shot him a DM when he was announcing that he was like first moving to Houston or something along those sorts. And maybe paraphrasing a bit along the lines of me wanting a mentorship or work for him at his new restaurant.
Just kind of study him a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't, you know, I ain't even finished culinary school yet. A lot of people don't know that. You know, I'm still in culinary school. You know, and I was just so excited to talk to this guy because I like every picture he posts. His food looks amazing. It's phenomenal. He's cooked overseas. He's cooked for a lot of famous celebrities here. He's basically a rock star chef.
Yeah.
And he asked, like, what restaurant I work at. And I told him, well, none yet. I'm trying to get my, you know, he didn't respond after that. You know, but I posted his work a couple of times and tagged him, and he's reposted it. But that's my favorite chef, bro. You know, I've even tried to take a couple of pages out of his book and recreate some of his dishes because they just look so good. And I've had his food at 13 before, and it tastes just as good as it looked, man. So that's my, you know, celebrity chef that I definitely look up to, bro. Chef Tobias, shout out him. But other than that, I think those are my people. Or my sister Trey too. Like she pretty dope. God damn, she makes some good gumbo.
My
sister Trey, man. So shout out her.
Yeah, you was gonna get it if you didn't mention her, by the way. So I'm glad you put that.
Facts. You know, I have a couple of partners, you know, that's local in Houston doing their thing. You know, my boy Papa Spice, Timbo, shout out him. My boy Jamil, the chef, they doing their thing. You know, Chasing the Taste, Chef Jay, she's phenomenal. She's a work art herself. So, you know, it's a big enough table for everybody to eat. It's a lot of up-and-coming chefs who haven't made their mark yet, who still trying to make it, including myself. I'm not shit. I tell people that all the time. I ain't shit. You know, I'm working to solidify my name in the culinary industry in Houston before, you know, I branch out everywhere else. So, yeah.
So, the Dirty Apron was birthed out of a hardship in your life. So, even if, by the way, he has a recipe book out, and you kind of you implement these themes of mental health throughout the cookbook.
Absolutely.
So can you kind of take us into what exactly was going on in that time of your life and how that made you transition and into cooking, and how cooking kind of was your therapy in a way for what you were going through?
That's kind of a very sentimental question, but you know, at one point when I first started off, I would kind of shy away from what got me into cooking now the way it has been, and now I embrace it, bro. You know, my favorite quote that I use is to embrace pain. I got that from my therapist I was going to see and from my uncle as well, my Uncle Larry, who ended up becoming my therapist. But embracing pain, bro. I was going through trauma with dealing with the loss of two of my best friends, you know, who was taken from us way too early. It kind of set me back emotionally after I lost one.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I dealt with it, which I didn't. It was just a cover-up.
Right.
You know, I wasn't dealing with it, and then I lost another.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends. It kind of happened back-to-back between 2 years. And it kind of resurrected a lot of buried bitter bones I had from losing Vontae. You know, Vontae Hardison, man, my brother, love you. DeMarcus Jones, love you, brother. So, you know, once DeMar had passed after Vontae, you know, I was just in a dark place. I was mm-hmm. like, you know, these are guys I was with every day before their demise, and easily could have been there with them, you know. And it just set me back to a real dark place where I just felt like I didn't have support from people who really didn't know what was going on with me. I didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was very closed up. And, you know, I have my moments where I would break down. And, you know, one day, you know, I was on a couch, you know, crying, snot bubbles all the day. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to cry and let it out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was also, like, hungry. I took our food. Yeah, man, I had took our food to cook. And I'm like, man, I ain't trying to waste this food. You know, I really don't got no money like that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I got up in the kitchen and started cooking. And I was playing some Bobby Womack. You know, I'm over the stove and whipping. Mm-hmm. And when I sat down at my bar to start eating, the tears dried up. And I felt a calmness come over me. And, you know, I took myself to go see a therapist. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of black people don't believe in that in our community.
Right.
Or at least we didn't before. Times mm-hmm. are changing. And in that moment, I realized that cooking is something that calmed me down. Now, before that happened, my therapist had told me, you need to keep coming to therapy until therapy finds you. And for a minute, I didn't know what that meant until she got in depth and explained that you won't always need to come sit down on the couch and talk to somebody about mm-hmm. your problems. You're going to have these outlets in your life where your pain or your hurt or even your happiness at times, you know, can be exerted onto something in your life that you like to do.
Yeah.
And mine for me ended up being cooking, man. And so whether it was stress at work, you know, whether it was dealing with the loss of my brothers, which I still go through, or dealing with financial issues or heartache
mm-hmm.
through old relationships or anything I was going through with my old lady at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, bro, I got in that kitchen and made something happen every single time. And a lot of those posts that people like and repost and put hard eyes, so this looks so good, have no idea, like, what made me get up off my ass and go create those dishes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there was pretty much a story behind why I got into cooking. And people early on was asking me, like, why do you love cooking so much? And I tell you, I don't love it. You know, at the time I didn't, because I was using it as a weapon. But now that weapon has saved my life, I believe.
Right.
So the love I have for cooking now comes from such a deep-rooted place. You know, the saying, a rose grew from concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much how that happened in cooking my baby, man. You know, couldn't love him more now. So
right.
Yeah.
So when you were describing that time period, you said that, you know, you felt like people around you were not there for you, but at the same time, they were not there for you because you wasn't exactly transparent in what you were feeling at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think that a part of the reason that you were so closed off is because of the stigma behind mental health, and also you being a male, and also you being a black male, and how we are? It's like, you better get, you know what I mean? You crying, it's not bubbles, you better, you know what I mean? So
hey,
what part did that play in it of you just kind of holding that in and not, you know, fully, you know, reaching out to your friends and be like, dude, like, I'm out of it. Like, I'm hurt, bro. So what is all that I just mentioned a part of the reason why
absolutely,
you kept it in?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, dog. For starters, man, I was always so good
mm-hmm.
at dealing with death. You know, growing up, I had people in my family that passed from cancer or other timely demises. And, you know, my mother, Jesus, that is a strong black woman, man.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, my mother's a strong woman. And I kind of saw how she just
carried it.
Just body shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, she never really let me see her break down,
mm-hmm.
you know? And just seeing that, which even that in itself, you know, you would think, like, mom, it's okay to be vulnerable.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I guess to an extent, I didn't want to be vulnerable
because mm-hmm.
I didn't want nobody having a perception of me as being weak.
Right.
And, I kind of got, you know, on my high horse and just felt like that all of this is okay. And it was really my Uncle Larry who kind of echoed that to me, like, bro, if you got to scream, kick, punch the air, whatever you got to do, bro, like, get that shit out.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, you know, considering myself a mental health advocate, you know, letting everybody know, especially of color, that it's okay to go seek help. Mm-hmm. A therapist don't mean that you have to go sit down and talk to somebody and pay them money. You can outsource that hurt or that pain to somebody who can understand you or that you can relate to, or simply somebody to just listen.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of what, you know, what ended up happening. I just got tired of being a strong guy.
Yeah.
You know, I've always kind of been that friend, and you can relate to this, that everybody come to for problems. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they need something physically or whether they just need a lending ear or advice.
Yeah.
And in a lot of those cases, bro, like, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, how often does somebody ask you, well, are you okay? What's going on with you? Anything you want to talk about?
No, not the strong friend or the friend in our position is, he never gets checked on, really.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We don't, man. You know, and, you know, throughout the years, just randomly, you know, I post my guys, you know, on social media, anybody I've lost in, which it doesn't bother me, but, you know, I still never get that message like, are you good, bro? Yeah. Just checking on you. You know, I got a couple of people that do that, a couple. Yeah. And those are the ones who I have, like, opened up to fully about, you know, a lot of the traumas and pain that I've, you know, that I've been feeling. But yes, man, absolutely, you know, Bon Appetit Season 1, my cookbook, I drop a lot of gems in there for mental health. And even on my post on IG, you know, now I started putting mental health quotes for people to grasp and kind of hold on to.
And Bible verses, too.
Yeah.
As I'm hearing you talking, I'm picturing or I'm getting the idea that part of the enjoyment for you as far as, you know, being a chef and, you know, catering these events is not so much, you know, because a lot of cooks love to see people enjoy their food, right? But I think for it's a different level for you because you saw what food took you from. So you seeing the happiness that people get from your food probably takes your appreciation to a whole different level. Am
absolutely,
I right?
Absolutely, bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Man, I have a funny story, man. I was cooking for one of my clients this past summer, and he had some friends over, and I had made this pomegranate molasses chicken. It was one of my recipes I love to make. It's a baked chicken with a pomegranate molasses glazed over the top, and I use a sherry white wine sauce infused with a pineapple tequila. All
right.
And I put that over the top, and I dressed the plate and made it look pretty. And this young lady, one of his friends that was there, took a bite into it. My back was to her. I was still making plates or whatever, and this is what I hear. Oh my God. can't make this up. I thought something bad happened. You know, I turned around, bro, and she was eating the food. She was wide eyed and she was just like, you know, just astounded. And I was like, are you good? She's like, this is so damn good. What is this? Like, the chicken, the sauce, the, you know, like shit like that, bro. And like, I've had a lot of dope reactions like that, you know, across the board. And you know, every time I get them, it kind of just takes me back, like, bro, like, your food bringing people joy.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually cooked for people who wasn't having, you know, such good days. You know, I had a client I cooked for before who was doing something special for his wife, but he was having a really bad day and almost canceled. Man. Hold up. And, you know, over the phone, I talked to him, and I was like, you know, I got some tricks up my sleeve tonight, you know, so don't be discouraged. You had a bad day. Some things happened to him, and you know, I got there and did more than I was supposed to, and that, you know, just that small token kind of changed everything around how he was feeling.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, food definitely bring bliss, bro, for sure.
For sure. So, all this time, your friends, people around you been telling you, Al, you need to do more with this cooking. So, at what point did you go from, I don't really love cooking like that, it's just, you know I can cook, I need to eat, so I'm a cook, at what point did you go from that to the Dirty Apron?
Okay, so back to those friends that was just, you know, pressing that big red button, like, do something with this, you know what I'm saying? You know, like the YouTube channel or selling plates or, you know, a food truck, which, you know, I didn't want to do any of those things.
Yeah.
I originally said that I'm just, you know, going to be a private chef. Like, what I set out to do, and my favorite thing to do still to this day, is to cook for couples. I love lighting the candles, the rose petals, lighting shit on fire, flipping stuff in the kitchen, all of that.
Yeah.
You know, but when I was coming up with the business idea of just, you know, being a private chef that can come to your home and cook for you and your old lady,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was like, well, how could I make it, you know, bigger than my own vision? I didn't know where it was going to go at first, bro. Like,
yeah.
I really didn't. So what I did was I kind of lit a fire under my own ass and said, well, we're going to figure out what you're going to do, but you're going to start first and foremost.
Right.
And I think...
Always the hardest part.
Exactly. and I think that was honestly, bro, like the biggest first step I've had in my life towards being more disciplined and not being so much of a procrastinator. Because, dog, I used to procrastinate about everything. And I mm-hmm. still do with certain things, but I've developed these new habits that are getting me away from it and, right. And has got me away from it in certain parts. So the first part was starting. I made the announcement like maybe a month before my birthday mm-hmm. last year. And then on my birthday, I dropped a little video of me and my mom and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from that, I had no expectation of what was going to happen. And, bro, it just started booming. I started getting bookings after bookings after bookings.
Right. So talk to us about, because you said you announced this last year. And you fast forward to now, and you've, you know, been cooking for an NBA player during this offseason. You've gotten a major opportunity. I'll let you, you know, announce that when you're ready. And all this stuff that you've been able to do in what's really a short amount of time. So can you talk about, tell us, like, that process. Take us through this last year and how fast things have been moving and how you had to adjust, you know, because I'm sure, like you said, you didn't have any, because you're kind of going on the fly, like exactly, having to, exactly. you know, make new menus, having to do this, having to, you know, change your business model a little mm-hmm. bit, you know. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Hey, that's a testimony in itself. What I will say is God is good all the time.
And all the time.
Yeah, God so, man, the journey kind of has been light speed for me. I didn't expect for it to pick up as fast as it did, you know, as I mentioned. I hate to say thank you to COVID because people done lost their lives, but COVID was a good time for me to start this business. And I had no intentions on starting no business, you know, in COVID, you know. But I think that played a major factor in how many clients that I got right off the bat within the first year, because you really couldn't do nothing.
Right.
You know, a lot of things was closed down. Restaurants were closed. You had to pick up food to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people had to get creative about how to make more moments special.
Mm-hmm.
So they start bringing private chefs to their home. So I will say that I think that played a big part in what I had to do. And I keep it completely a book. You know, since Houston has been back open, it has slowed down a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I still have a lot of business, but, you know, it wasn't as prevalent as it was, you know, during the hype of COVID.
Because
nobody can do nothing, you know what I'm saying? But even outside of that, you know, I still got the opportunity to cook for certain high-end clients who, you know, had me day in and day out, you know, in the kitchen whipping. And, you know, I meal prep for, you know, a certain base of clients, you know, who had me in the kitchen whipping. And it's just, I think my consistency on social media is kind of what kept me with skin in the game. And also, you know, a big thing I think that helped, you know, I'm all about catching people's attention.
Yeah.
My presentation, bro, like, and I know I'm not where I'm going,
mm-hmm.
but for where I'm at now, my presentation really grasps people, and they be like, damn, they look good, you know what I'm saying?
Let me stop you there, because I want to ask you this question. You talked about your mom being an influence, and when we were talking at your birthday dinner, you know, she was saying, you know, hey, I don't even have that skill as far as the presentation goes. So how did you get that skill? How did you really hone that? And what was the spark that made you want to, you know, present your food in such a way? Because it is great presentation.
Well, for starters, I wasted a lot of money. I wasted a lot of money practicing how I played my food, bro.
Yeah.
Basically, dog, I got on YouTube. I read books. And I follow people closely like Chef Tobias. And, you know, I seen how a lot of, you know, him and other chefs, how they plate their food and different techniques they use. And there's still a whole nother stratosphere I haven't even tapped into when it comes to plating that.
Right.
I'm about to get in my bag with some shit, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, uh-oh. Man. It's coming.
Yeah.
But I just always felt like you know, food should look as good as it tastes.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of cases, things look, how can I put this, like gory delicious, like a loaded baked potato or, you know, loaded fries or something like that. Like, you know, some shit you get at a carnival. You know,
it look
gory good. Like, damn, I want, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not nothing people like really eating every day. That's like a treat yourself type of thing. So when it comes to just, you know, cuisine or fine dining, I kind of felt like I'm going to make my plate look like a circus, but a bougie ass circus. Let me put it together and make it art. And I literally be on my bar, you know, head down with the, you know, with the paintbrush and doing my lines and my, you know, my chef spoon and doing my, so, that took time in itself. That definitely wasn't an overnight thing, you know, either. Like I said, I still got to, but the presentation, I definitely always felt like, man, if you're going to serve anything to somebody, you make sure that this shit going to look as good as it going to taste.
Right.
So
the thing I think that separates you from other chefs, I mean, you know, at least that I've seen, is that you are just as much, especially for your private events, you're just as much as an entertainer as you are a chef.
My boy.
You look at the videos, you dancing, you know, having a good time with the, with, you know, because most people, when they cater, you know, they'll cook the food, they'll sit back, you know.
Yeah.
But you literally entertain also.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, you ask any of my clients who don't book me before and they'll tell you, you know, that I entertain. That's something I put in my service fee, dog. Yeah. You get a singing, dancing ass chef. You know, I talk, I crack jokes, you know, I sympathize, you know, sometimes I even go into deep conversations about people, spiritual status or political views. It just depends. I know how to read a room.
Yeah.
You know, I like to bring a different substance, you know, to the table when it comes to clients so they don't just feel like, I'm there to work. Of course I'm there to work. Like, you paid me to be there.
Right.
But I'm going to give you a whole different dynamic of my personality when it comes to my brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not no one trick pony, man. So I can do it all.
Have you ever had a bad review?
Damn, Kyrie, shit.
I mean, the reason I asked that question, because I just can't imagine, but you know, people be hating.
I've had one bad review. I'll be completely honest. You know, you can keep this in your little podcast, I guess. You know, I've had one bad review.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I've had bad reviews. If you go to Apple Podcasts right now and look at the review section, you're going to see some people hating one star.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I had one bad review, dog. Man, I had an event for this young lady's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
This young lady, her name was Dominique. Don't care, I'm going to say her name. She was very professional. She encouraged me to do better. She sent me a very professional email after the event.
Yeah.
Man, she was not pleased. And I definitely dropped the ball. And in all of these areas, these are things that I had got better at early on when I was doing my bookings. One, I was late. And I was late because I was trying to get things last minute because I didn't prep right. And prepping is such a huge part of cooking in general. So I learned that lesson the hard way with this client. And she was a very, very, very timely person.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but what she do for a living, she was a PI, and she was a private investigator.
Oh, wow. Very detail-oriented.
Yeah, man. You know, so when I told her while I was running behind and what time I was going to be there, like, she knew there was a lot, and I got there, set up, did everything, and it was on a Sunday, and she had an alcohol beverage that was part of her, you know, her menu, and liquor stores not open on Sundays. Yeah. So I had to bring alcohol from my house. It wasn't the alcohol she ordered, and she ended up knowing that. And yeah, man, she wrote me an email, you know, telling me just how unprofessional I was and how late I was, and the food was amazing, but you should do better at X, Y, and Z. And, like, knowing where I messed up, bro, I just felt completely like shit.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt bad because, first of all, that's somebody's food. You don't play with nobody's food, bro.
Yeah.
Like, at all. But since then, I've gotten a lot better. I don't have those problems no more. That was the only bad review I've gotten.
How hard is that not to take personal?
Not at all. It's business.
Okay. It's business. You didn't take it personal at all?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, I think the only thing that I took personal with a grain of salt at first was that she's not going to refer me to nobody.
Gotcha.
As much marketing as I do on social media, the best form of marketing is word of mouth.
Right.
If somebody can come up to you and tell you, hey, you should talk to Kyrie about X, Y, and Z because he is in his bag with this. He know what he's doing. You know, they're more likely to talk to you than seeing that on a billboard that they just passing up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think honestly, a bulk of my clients that I've had through the past year have been people who've experienced me, who have loved the experience and have told somebody, that's your guy for whatever event that you need. Right. And I knew I wasn't getting that from her. You know, so that was the only thing that kind of irked my nerves, and that just made me go harder. And she was right about everything she told me.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Mama. You know, but I've definitely got better in those regards. Those would not happen again.
Right.
Know, so.
So what is your... I'm asking you this question, even though I hate when people ask me this question. What is your long-term goals for the Dirty Apron?
I want my own restaurant.
Okay.
Like, mine.
Yeah.
Just solely me, no investors. I want my own restaurant. It doesn't have to be, you know, hit you over the head, top of fancy. It doesn't have to be a hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. I just want something that's me.
Right.
That can cater to, you know, a wide range, variety of people. Mm-hmm. Cultural, you know, especially. And then I want to cook for more of those high-end clients, more of those professional athletes, you know, entertainers, political figures even. You know, I feel like once I reach, you know, that pinnacle, that I'm going to be one of the best, you know, in my lane, where I cook at in my lane. There are different lanes of culinary, but...
Yeah.
And I feel like once I reach that, you know, hell yeah, I should be cooking for a Cardi B or LeBron James. You name it, nigga. I'm trying to be up there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, so... I definitely want my own place one day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what I'm going to call it or what it's going to be, but I know I'm heading in that direction if, you know, God say the same, so.
Right. I mean, I think the Dirty Apron is a good name.
For us, right?
Yeah. But, so, okay. For business owners out there, because you are a business owner, that is trying to figure out social media, what are some of the keys? Because I feel like you're really good at social media. You're good at staying consistent. Posting visually appeasing videos and pictures. So if you had advice for anybody that's trying to figure out social media and how to build their clientele, what would be your advice?
The first thing I would tell anybody is to stay consistent.
Yeah.
Don't go too long without posting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some days, you know, me going 4 to 5 days is way too long, to be honest, because I have other peers, like my homeboy Jamil the Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And Chef Jay, like, they post him every day.
Yeah.
You know, definitely be consistent in your post to get people attention. You want to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, you know, I follow the algorithm on Instagram, and I look at, you know, the followers and the unfollows and the interactions that I get.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff really fluctuates, you know. So, like, if you're not on it, you're going to lose people.
Yep.
You know, and I know it's not all about a following, but you still want to hold people's attention with your craft, regardless of what you're selling,
mm-hmm.
that they keep coming back to your page.
Right.
So that's one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second aspect of it, I would tell you, promote the hell out of yourself, bro, because nobody is going to promote you more than your damn self.
Right.
You have to put your stuff out there on multiple different platforms, be appeasing, be eye-popping, eye-gazing, and... I would also encourage people to find something that relates to you or your brand that you can kind of tie into one to kind of target a different audience. And what I would say, and I don't do this to target a certain audience. I do this because it means something to me. For instance, the mental health with the quotes and everything, being a mental health advocate, bro. Like, I know that certain people, for instance, that have DM'd me, you know, certain people follow me, you know, for those quotes and those gems. Of course, they probably like the food here and there, but I know that they use, you know, a lot of my slogans and quotes, you know, to help them get through days if they're going through something or something that they can pass on to somebody else.
Right.
So have a purpose behind your brand.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get burnt out? Like I'm tired of cooking?
Yes. Yes, bro. Yeah, man. Hey, you know, what's funny is a lot of times when I cook, you know, like... if I have some people over and I'm cooking a spread and I'm done, everybody make their plates. Somebody look and say, "Hey, are you not eating?" Nah.
Yeah.
And that's a chef thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
As I'm going and I'm tasting my food, making sure everything is where it needs to be. When I'm done, bro, like, I probably won't eat until an hour way too later, if not, yeah. if not the next day. Like, I it's just like that. But on the other side of that, bro, like, I cook so much. Sometimes it'd be like, bro, I'm okay. I don't even need cooking right. Like, I don't need to be the therapeutic chef right now. You know right. what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, goddamn, yeah. I'm tired, you know. Right. But since you know, the therapeutic side has developed into a love for it and a passion, bro, like, I never just get tired of cooking where I feel like, bro, I'm just tired of this shit. Like, yeah. it's always a silver lining of joy. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I appreciate it. There's a deep-rooted appreciation for what I do.
Right. Have you gotten to the point where, because you have all these, like, Chef Tobias and all these people that you kind of want to learn from, have you gotten to the point where people are hitting you up to learn from you?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. A lot of peers.
Yeah.
Nobody in the culinary world, mm-hmm. I don't think, you know. But a lot of my peers who I know, like, can actually cook always ask me for tips on how to do X, Y, and Z. And, like, even that means a lot to me, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, if anybody got any questions, you know, DM the Dirty Apron by Al. You know, I don't hold no sauce. First of all, it's a lot of something I've learned about the culinary industry is kind of like the fashion industry. Like, mm-hmm. you know, in fashion, a lot of things are recycled. We think we've seen something new, but, you know, our parents were rocking it back in the 70s and 80s, right. and we just find a way to revamp it and make it our own.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, being a chef, and I got this from More Than an Athlete interview, Chef Jay, and she said that the moment you feel like you've learned all you needed to know in a culinary industry, like, you haven't learned nothing at all. Just hang it up. Food is always evolving. People are finding new techniques to do stuff, but at the same time, like, a lot of it is just a repeated cycle.
Right.
You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, so, you know, so to say. So, yeah, bro, like, I just feel like I would take something that I seen on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or from one of my favorite chefs, Instagram, mm-hmm. Chef Sebo, he cold as hell. He cooked for Juju Smith. He cooked for Jimmy Butler. Like, you know, I'll take some of these guys' pictures of what I see they've made, or if they put a description, and I'd be like, okay, bet. I'm going to make that, but I'm going to make it my way. You right. know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so it's a lot of different variations on how you can do stuff, you know, in the kitchen with a lot of different things, bro.
Right. So I want to ask you this. How do you, because I'm pretty sure you've experienced this, especially with our people, having people that you're close to want discounts. How do you deal with that?
Yeah. 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 Hey, man, it's happened. It's happened. I got some friends who don't even ask for discounts. Niggas just want a free plate.
Yeah.
Like, I got some people that hit me up like, you cooking today? You cooking today? You made something? Shit, when you gonna make this? When you gonna make that, bro? Yeah. I need some whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, a lot of times, like, it doesn't bother me at all yeah. because I know these are people who, before I even believed in myself to do what I'm doing, was pushing me
right.
off the cliff to jump and make some of this, you know, of this cooking shit. So, yeah, man, I definitely get that. And I will say, when it comes to people booking me, the most annoying thing that I come across is somebody asked me how much something costs.
Mm-hmm.
I would give them their quote once they fill out their consultation sheet or whatever, and I send it back to them. I either A, don't hear from them again, or they complain about it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And something that is in very big, bold letters on my consultation sheet is, I accommodate all of my clients' budget.
Right.
I know a lot of people go to my page, and I have people tell me this,
mm-hmm.
that I'll cook for. They're like, bro, I first saw your page. I was like, I probably can't afford this nigga, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like that, you know? I'm like, bro, like, all of my food's going to look phenomenal, first and foremost. It don't matter what you get in your budget, it's all going to look phenomenal.
Right.
But what they don't understand is, if you acquire about lamb chops and, you know, my loaded lobster mac and cheese pasta, and then you want the, you know, the seafood fondue mashed potatoes, like, yeah. Yeah, that's going to cost you a little bit,
right.
goddamn. That shit ain't cheap.
Yeah.
And that's just me buying the food. That ain't even you right. paying me for my services, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
People got to understand that with food, bro. Like, chefs cooking, this is our livelihood, dog. You know, you're paying for what you're going to eat, and then you're paying for our services.
Right.
Period. So, I be having to explain to clients, you know, once they've acquired about a certain dish, like, this is how much this should cost, but let me know your budget. I can meet you there and give you something that's going to be equally as tasty and still going to look good.
Right.
That can accommodate your pockets. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, a little trick in marketing for any up-and-coming entrepreneurs is whenever you're sending out your pricing to anybody for what they inquire, you want to put that price in the middle. You want to price them for what they want in the middle. You want to price them on something more expensive that sounds more, you know,
elaborate
yeah. above that. Mm-hmm. And then you want to price something that's cheaper below what they acquired about. So that way they're looking at their menu like, okay, damn, like what's more elaborate sound mm-hmm. a whole lot better than what I'm getting. But what I'm getting right. is still going to hit, I know.
Yep.
You know, but if I want to save some more pennies, I can go a little bit lower and still get good quality.
Right.
You know, like you want to give them options, and it hits the bullseye every time. A lot of people, they come back to me and say, you know what? We're going to go ahead and take the more expensive price.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a really good marketing tip for on all your entrepreneurs out there. But yeah, bro, it happens all the time. People want a free plate. You know, if you're not in my inner circle, you can't even hit my line like that. I'm going to tell you no. And a lot of them niggas get told no.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying?
You know, like I got to be in the mood where I feel like I'm in a happy place where I want to cook a lot. You know, I open my phone like, hey, come grab you a plate if you buy, you know, something like that. But other than that, don't ask me for no damn discounts. Don't ask me for no free food. The answer is not no. It's hell no. Yeah.
Are you even capable of making regular dishes now? Like, when you're cooking for yourself, like, can you, every time you cook, do you just have to go all out?
You think I'm cooking like that every time, Kyrie?
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, well, so you are capable of doing regular dishes.
Hey, man.
Some pizza
I still
roll.
Buy my head over them Roman noodles. I still eat the tortitos, pizza rolls, you know, the hot pockets. Look, I'm never too boo. I come from humble beginnings, goddamn.
Yeah.
If I don't have the energy to go heat up no damn skillet,
mm-hmm.
Domino's me, Wingstop me, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know, but even when I do cook for myself and I do make these you know, these elaborate dishes that takes a lot of time and patience, even cooking for myself, I still don't dress my plate like that.
Yeah.
I just make a regular plate. Gotcha. Now, when I know I'm taking pictures for the gram or if I'm cooking for clients,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you getting the whole nine, you know
for
what
sure.
I'm saying? Yeah.
For sure. All right, for this last question, I'm going to put you on the spot. And just know this person going to see this, so answer carefully. Who is the better cook, you or your mom?
Mama, I love you. Yeah,
P.O.P.
Hold it down. Hey, man, you know, my tea lady, man, my mama, she gonna always be my favorite cook. And her and I go back and forth all the time. You know, she's my favorite cook because I grew up on her.
Right.
On her spoon, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just hits home for me. It's coming from a different place for me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I have surpassed my mom in the kitchen and areas, mm-hmm. I have surpassed you in the kitchen and areas. You know what I'm saying? Man, it just, her cooking just hit home for me every time. So, you know, my mama, she, god damn, she got me, man. She got me.
All right, he conceded, people. Y'all heard it.
Yeah.
Lastly, is there anything you want to say to the people out there, how they can find you, how they can book you? Any tips on, you know, how to deal with mental health or whatever you want to say, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man, you know, Al Spikes, Chef Alex, you can find me on Instagram at The Dirty Apron by Al. Twitter, The Dirty Apron B1, the letter B, number one. And also my page on Facebook, The Dirty Apron by Al. Check your boy out, links in bio for booking or just simply DM me. You know, we can go the more personal route that way. And also, for any and everybody dealing with any or everything out there, bro, there is a tomorrow, there is a silver lining. Definitely get some help if you need it. Talk to somebody. You know, don't just hold that shit in. And I will leave you with this. Always embrace the pain. Do not let it consume you. Peace, love, and happiness.
Thank you, Al. Thank you guys for listening. We out.